We're getting to beautiful weather in Halifax right now. And speaking about balance, the question comes in every year, every single time at this time of the year. A couple came in for Shabbat, they're an Orthodox couple, they seek out the Orthodox shul, they're very happy, they have minions all the time. It's a wonderful, wonderful world to live in. Then they asked me the question, how do we light candles in the hotel and where do we light it? You've heard this question before? We all have an obligation Friday night to light candles before Shabbat, correct? Preferably you should light a candle or two candles, whatever your custom is, five candles for the children, whatever it is, and you light it at the place where you eat. Well, sometimes this situation is not the equation I just presented. And let's just do this slowly. Number one, you're in a hotel, you're eating at the rabbi's house. Where do you light candles? Shul? Well, shul is not an option in this case because you're neither eating in shul nor you're sleeping in shul. And the only two options of lighting candles is where you eat or where you sleep, because the whole obligation of lighting candles is that you have light on Shabbos. So if you're not going to be eating in the shul nor sleeping there, it's not so important to have light. The sages were worried on Shabbos you might bump into one another and kill each other in the dark. So they said you should have candles so this way you won't kill each other. So the truth of the matter is that in shul that won't happen because presumably there'll be light in shul, right? There was never an enactment on shul. But at home, you want to be a cheapskate, so you don't put on your lights for Shabbos, because you're going to stay on all Shabbos, you can't put them off. They just knew the Jews are cheap, so they made this enactment that you have to light candles Erev Shabbos so that you don't kill each other. Imagine the wife of the house is carrying the chicken soup with the lakshim, and she brings it into the dining room, and you have no lights on because you're cheap. And she brings it in, she bumps it into the husband of the house, the soup spills on him, you can forget about what they call each other, the whole Shabbos is down the drain, and we have an obligation to enjoy Shabbos. Right? This is a very real concern. So, where do you light candles? You're going to sleep at the hotel, you're going to eat at the rabbi's house. Well, not going into the whole thing now, you should probably light candles where you sleep, because the rabbi's house is the rabbi's house. But where's your place for Shabbos? The hotel room. Okay. Very nice. So light candles in your hotel room. What's the problem with that? First of all, you have to leave it. And that is the issue involved here. Okay, the hotel says you're not allowed to light in the room for the reason that we're about to say. What's the reason? Fire. It's a fire hazard. There's no bigger fire hazard than this. You want a classical fire hazard? Shabbos candles Friday night in the hotel room, unattended. So what do you do? Every single person coming into Halifax, I'm telling you, five people a week, one of them gives me a call. So one option is, you say to the rabbi, thank you very much for inviting me to your house for dinner, where you're going to serve me a good meal, probably a three-course dinner, which will probably be better than the tuna fish sandwiches I have in my room, but kind of like candles, they got to stay here. So in this particular solution, we're being very stringent on the obligation to light candles, and you're going to do it at all costs. And what are we being lenient on? Pardon? The size of the candle, we didn't get to yet. Well, enjoying Shabbat. You should enjoy Shabbat in the best way possible. And quite frankly, eating a hot Shabbat meal is probably a little better than eating a cold meal in your hotel room. Right? So, what's another solution? So, you can cut your hand candles and then you have little candles. But here we have a halakhic problem. You're supposed to light candles such before Shabbos, because on Shabbos we're not allowed to light a fire, but then comes in Shabbos, and you're supposed to enjoy the light of the Shabbos candles, or benefit from the light of the Shabbos candles. So if you light Shabbos candles way early, and you go to shul, and you go eat, and you have very small candles, by the time you come back, bye-bye candles. But perhaps you didn't fulfill your obligation at all, because the obligation is not just to light candles, it's also to have the candles lit during the course of Shabbat. So, we need very long candles, but the longer the candle, the bigger the fire hazard, correct? The bigger the fire, right? So basically, the longer the candle, the more insurance you need, fire insurance, right? So what do we do in this case? What's the solution? So, we put a timer. How do you put a timer? He's not wrong. He's not wrong. We'll explain what he means in a minute. What does Boris say? He says, put a timer on your candles. Well, that's not a bad idea. I'll tell you what. What is the obligation on Friday night? To light a candle like on Hanukkah, or to have light? To have light. Hanukkah is to light the candles. If you want to light an electric menorah on Hanukkah, it's beautiful, it's gorgeous, and you fulfill nothing. But on Shabbos, the obligation is to have light. So perhaps the fact that before Shabbos you go to your switch and you put it on, you fulfill your obligation. Is electricity considered a candle? Or considered light? Here we get into a big controversy. And many great rabbis tell us, yes,
And therefore, since they felt that electricity is considered fire, what can't you do on Shabbos? Turn it on, because it's like lighting a fire. Now, there's other reasons, by the way, why you're not allowed to use electricity on Shabbos. There's like five different reasons that were suggested by different rabbis at different times as to why you're not allowed to put on electricity. The common denominator is that everyone says no, but you just can't agree on the reason. But everybody says no. Now, if it's considered a fire, then very simple solution. Tell the woman before she leaves the hotel room, put on the light, finished. When you come back to the hotel room at night, with the light going to be on? Will you benefit from it? Yes. Is there a fire hazard? Zilch. This is a good solution. Right? Now, obviously, it's not perfect, because we want a light, the comet that we want a light is a candle, right? And there's a controversy if electricity is considered a candle, but this might be the solution in this case, where there is no choice, and that's the question of balance, the fire hazard versus the obligation of lighting candles. So let's take the obligation of lighting candles, balance it out, and thus we have a solution like this. Another solution that I can suggest in this case is as follows. What is the obligation of Friday night? How many candles should you light?
Two.
One for each. This isn't custom. But the very sincere obligation is what?
A candle.
You look in the Kodesh Jewish law, you look in the Gemara, you look, light a candle. Now, I have a custom that you light more than one candle. That's fine. If we're at home and there's someone attending the candles, to beat the hate. Now you're in a hotel room, so first of all, cut down on the candles and cut down on the fire. One candle. Number two, there are candles out there that are pretty safe, like the tea candles. The tea candles is basically a candle you put into a glass cup, and then you have a miracle of all miracles. There was the miracle of Hanukkah, this is the miracle of Shabbos. What happens? Usually they taught me in school that what happens, fire has a big enemy. It's called water. When fire comes in, when water comes in the fire, you can take a bite of the fire. Right? I said, how do you know that? My teacher said, you idiot, open up the Haggadah, it's in there. Didn't know what he meant. Opened up the Haggadah. All the way as I took to the Haggadah, start with Kiddush, or the Karpas, Yachas, nothing's there. So the whole story of Egypt, Ayenu, nothing's there. All the way at the end of the story there with a little sheep. You remember the story? One kid goes, father brought me with Tezuzin, then came to this. Who put out the fire? Put out the fire. Sa'aka Maya, comes the Mayim, comes the water, and they took out the fire. So, my teacher was right. It's right in the Haggadah. I didn't believe him. It's in the Haggadah. Very nice. So, what do we do? Take one candle, and this PDI has something amazing. The wax drips into the glass, and it doesn't go out, it continues to light. This candle, by the way, goes on for hours. It's a good solution anyway, because you're going to go to the rabbi's house for dinner, you're going to come back to the hotel room 5 hours later, and you still have a candle to benefit from. One candle. If that candle falls, all the wax immediately turns from water to wax, and as the saying goes, goodbye fire. So it basically will burn out the minute it touches anything. It has to stand in that position. The minute it goes, whoop, no. But that's not enough for us. We're Jews. We have to be very cognitively aware of our light. So what do I suggest? One tea candle, okay? Make sure that around the tea candle, put the tea candle into an aluminum pan. You see an aluminum pan? Mm-hmm. You go to the superstore tonight, there's 20 different aluminum pans. When I go to the store to shop for my wife, she says, buy aluminum pans! No problem, I know what aluminum pans are. I get to the store, I don't know what aluminum pans are anymore. There's the roasting pan. There's the roasting pan number two. There's the round. There's the half round. There's this. There's that. It's like denominations of Christianity over here. It's hilarious. So, you go to the store, you buy an aluminum pan. Square aluminum pan. Fill the pan up with
water.
Put your candlestick in the pan and put the tea light on top of it. If the tea light falls, it's going to burn out. But just in case it doesn't, where's it falling into? The enemy of fire is water. Gentlemen, this is a good solution on one condition. What's the condition? And you go to the hotel, and you say, I'm lighting a candle in my room under these and these circumstances. Is it okay? Most of the cases, when you ask the hotel that question, they will answer you.
No.
Absolutely not, because you asked.
Yeah.
Shmuel Dreyer, they're going to say no. So therefore, I don't know if that solution is such a good solution in this case, but sometimes you'd be surprised. People did ask, and they said, okay. And they lived in their rooms. Now, once again, I feel, just to reiterate, you have to light candles where you eat, preferably, but if where you're eating is not your place, then it's where you sleep in the hotel. So you have to try to finagle out solutions of how to fulfill this mitzvah of lighting candles Friday night, and yet not forgetting other laws within Judaism, like making sure not to have a fire which can endanger people's lives, and of course, making sure that you come back and you can benefit from it, and all the other things. Right? You can see a simple mitzvah of lighting candles Friday night is one that requires a lot of balancing out to really get it right. So when we're home, everything is perfect. But once we leave home, the balancing act sucks. But for some people, home is wherever they are. For us, home is Halifax. The problem is, they come to Halifax, it's not their home. They have problems. We're at home, we're nice and calm. So what happens is, people come into town as tourists, and they make the rabbi unkind. So you ask these questions, and go finagle your brain to find the right solution. However, as you can see from this answer, the answer is not just to get it done. That's not a proper answer. Yes?
You're using a lamp, a light.
If you are using a light, and it's not a fluorescent light, but it is a light with a filament inside. Did I say that word right? The filament. The thing that becomes very, very hot inside the light bulb. Absolutely, you make a bracha before putting on that light. Or if you're a woman, then you put on the light and then you make the bracha as they do the candles. Okay? Absolutely. You make it with a proper bracha. And that's the way I decided is the law on this. Other opinions might say do it without a bracha, but I see no reason why. I see no reason why you're fulfilling the obligation, you're doing it with what we consider fire, and therefore you should make a bracha on it. And I've done that many times. I have to do it many times in the army, in hotel rooms. Yeah, this summer I was in Israel in a hotel room for Shabbos, and I have to do the same thing. Absolutely. Any other questions?